How's everyone doing?
Cool. Sounds like maybe a few too many visits to Bourbon Street last night. What do you think? Has anyone been to Bourbon Street yet?
Yes.
Okay. Has anyone not been to Bourbon Street yet? A couple of you. I suggest you go. It's a good time. Anyways.
Well, first of all, congratulations for finding the room and not passing out along the way. It's a good thing they serve food once you get in the building. This is the session on getting the most out of your Link monitoring service data. How many of you have deployed Link already?
All good. Right.
How many of you use monitoring server and the data? How many of you think that you can get all the information out of it that you really want?
Perfect.
All right.
We have the right audience.
So first of all, a couple introductions. My name is Nick Smith. I am the American.
And I'm the Canadian.
Scott and I are both part of a customer engineering team within the Skype division, specifically a group called Deployment Engineering, where we focus on a lot of our larger strategic and customers that have escalated to having issues or need help with their deployments. And so have a lot of experience working with the customers, reviewing their monitoring server data, and let them know how they're doing. Are they healthy? Where can they improve? Or kind of helping them just to see where they can use that data. And so we have a lot of experience doing that. And what we wanted to do today is just give you the tools and fundamentals of looking at your monitoring server data and how you can help to answer both what went wrong and the business questions of how do I improve.
So my name is Scott Stubberfield, and as Nick said, I am the Canadian in the group. We have one American. Do I have any Canadians in the audience with me? Yes. Four or five. Awesome. More than we usually have. So when all the Americans are cracking jokes on Canadians, I have some friends in the audience. I've been at Microsoft for over 7 years now. First 6+ years of my career was spent in Microsoft consulting services. And most recently, in the last 6 months, I moved into my role in the Skype division. I've been involved in the Link and OCS Masters programs, teaching and creating content. And I can't quite see any faces because of these really bright lights. So anyone who maybe we've met before and we haven't spoken recently, come up and introduce yourself after. It's always good to catch up with people that met before. In addition to work, I have a couple kids at home that I like to spend time with, playing sports. That's pretty much it. Hockey, yes, I do play hockey, eh? I'll try and keep my gratuitous use of the word A to a minimum today. So I'm going to introduce the session. So we have a number of objectives and takeaways for you today. So first of all, we want to kind of describe at a high level the purpose of the monitoring service. And I know you guys probably all get this, but again, this is based on our collective experience of working with large Link customers. A number of the escalations that come to our team, the first thing we always ask is, well, do you have the monitoring service deployed? Well, no. What's that? So we want to make sure that any one of you that are out there working in Link deployments, that you've got the monitoring service deployed, and if you are a customer, that you've also got the monitoring service deployed. So we'll kind of talk high level at what the service is and what it can bring you, and then we'll look at some of the additional data. And we'll actually get into looking at the monitoring server reports and give you kind of the base level tool set of how you can go in and extract out some of this data. We'll actually look at some specific examples on some screenshots, and then we'll actually jump into a lab environment that's got some real calls. I don't think that Nick and I pretend at all that we're going to teach you everything you possibly need to know about monitoring service data, but I think the intention of today is to give you a real baseline set of tools, expose you to some of the data that you can go in and dig into so that you can then take that back to your lab environment or your production environment or your customer's environment and kind of dig in and start to learn more and then advance your skill set.
How many, first of all, just a quick poll of the room, how many are customers? You have it deployed in your environment today. Okay, and how many are partners or consultants that are working with multiple?
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. So, digging into the monitoring service foundation. So, can you fix it before you diagnose it? Okay, so you got your car, you have a car, it's maybe 2 or 3 years old, You're driving it, and you hear kind of like a clunking in the front. You're not an auto mechanic. You don't know too much about cars. You take it into the dealership. What's the first thing that the dealer asks you? What are they going to ask you? Describe what?
When did it start smoking?
When did it start smoking, right? You're describing some sort of problem. When did it start? Tell me everything you can about it. How does it sound? When does it occur? Does it occur when you're turning left? Does it occur when you're turning right? Does it occur when you're only driving straight? Whatever. And then the next thing they're going to do is they're going to hook your car up to some sort of computer, diagnostic machine, plug in, and they're going to try and figure out from the diagnostics in the car what's wrong with it. Okay? So in our opinion, the Link monitoring service is that same thing, but for your Link deployment. So can you properly diagnose what's going on in your Link environment if you're not actively collecting data on it, right? Can you produce reports to, you know, your peers in your company to tell them how frequently this thing is being used if you're not actively collecting data? So we've worked with a number of customers, and we'll try and weave in some of those examples today. But one of the examples I had with a customer, they came to us and said, well, you know, we're getting these widespread reports about issues from various users, and we can't quite put our finger on it, and we want you to fix it. I said, okay, well, that's great. I would love to fix it for you, but you need to describe to me exactly what's going on and where it's being used and who's using it. I said, can you get me access to your monitoring service data? And they said, what is that? Okay, this is a problem, right? So we worked through with them what the monitoring server was, how we collected that data, getting that server deployed, and then we were actually able to collect the data and pinpoint the problem areas, and we were able to kind of troubleshoot beyond that point. So we want to make sure that you understand this is a fundamental piece of any Link deployment. So if you have a Link deployment out there that doesn't have it, you need to make sure that you get it in there. So one of the objections that we used to always hear about the monitoring server, as we used to call it in Link 2010, was it was a separate role. You know, and maybe you say, well, you know, we spent enough money on this. We can't find the additional budget to deploy that extra server role to be able to collect this data. Well, we've now fixed that problem for you in Link 2013. So instead of being a whole separate server role, it's really a service that's built into the front-end servers. So in Link 2013, you need a SQL database store for all this data to ultimately end up in, but it's now the responsibility of each and every front-end server in your environment to collect this real-time data on not only a call detail record basis, but also what we call quality of experience. So it's basically collecting media quality on every call that goes into your environment. And you'll see what the output of this data looks like as we go. In the appendix of these slides, and I believe, I don't know exactly where you guys will get them, but I know that at the end of the conference you'll be able to access the slides. And in the detail of these slides, we do have some screenshots that go into kind of more of the architecture pieces, but just because of the time that we have today, we didn't want to go run through all those, but they are in the slide deck for reference. So on this next screen, we just wanted to show very briefly the components that you could go in and configure through the Link control panel. So on the right-hand side of your screen are two screenshots showing what you can control for call detail recording and also quality of experience data. So basically, you can enable or disable the collecting of this data, you can enable or disable the purging of this data, and you have control over how many days this data will be stored in your database. So if your customer was concerned and said, well, you know, okay, that's great, we hear you, we know we want to collect data, we agree, but we don't have a limited, you know, database store in the back end to collect data on, you know, on a kind of unlimited basis, you can go in and set this value so that it will purge data after a certain number of days. So there's a store procedure that runs every night, and it says, okay, how many days do I want to leave? I'm going to leave 90 days. Anything that's older than 90 days, it will just clean up for you automatically. Okay, so that's just kind of the administrative side, fundamentals, you know, understanding. We didn't really want to dig in too deep. We really wanted to kind of focus the presentation on the actual extraction of the data and what you can do with it. So turn it over to Nick.
Okay. Like Scott said, we want to spend our time talking to you, not necessarily about how you manage it, but how you get the data out of the reports. And so the first scenario that I really want to go through is, imagine that your help desk or you're the Link administrator and you get a call from a user, likely a executive user who's voicing, can be very noisy, and says, I had an issue. What went wrong? Well, you might not know that. You might get the, I heard a clunk, using the car analogy. it was smoking. It kind of gives you an idea of where you might start to look, but it doesn't give you the whole story. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure that everyone walks away from the session of is that the monitoring service data is not just this is how good my call quality was, but it also collects a whole bunch of data about what your session quality was. We have two databases in there. We have a call detail record database and a QoE metrics database. QoE metrics is all about audio call quality, application sharing quality. But CDR is where I feel that you can get a whole lot more information where a lot of people just don't realize that they have it. So when you get that call and says, hey, I had an issue, but I don't know what it was. It just gave me some error message, and I stopped, and I called you, and I don't have a report. And I don't have logs turned on. And you don't want to go to the user and say, okay, can you reproduce and send me the logs? What I want you to know is that we collect a lot of this information in the monitoring server. You can get it from the data. So what I have here is everyone familiar with the user activity report? We had a lot of hands go up say that you're using it. Okay, so on the main reports, you can click on user activity. You can go and find all the calls for all your users within a certain period of time or filter it down to a specific user. One thing I want to point out here is we've populated the user URI prefix. This is not just for users within your environment. I was working with a customer. They're having problems with someone dialing into their conference. And they wanted to find out how they could get logs or find out what problem they had. And they didn't know that they could just start typing in the phone number of the person who was calling in and then find all the calls that came from that number and find the issues that they may have had with that conference. So use that to filter it down. Find the information that you're looking for right away. It doesn't have to be someone in your environment. If they're connecting to your environment, we're going to have some logs from their piece of the connection. But in this case, let's say this user called in. I want to find out what was wrong. Immediately, I can see green, red highlighting. There was some sort of issue with this bottom call. In that, I can just go and click on detail, and I'm going to be able to get a whole bunch of information. Okay, I'm sure you guys have gone through this and seen the media quality information before. But what I want to show you right away is I can find out why we detected that this is red or why there is an issue. I can see right away that there's a diagnostic ID 1200. Okay? Do you guys know what diagnostic ID 1200 means? No. I don't know off the top of my head. There are resources. But what I can do is just go ahead and click on here on 1200, and it will bring up another page that will show me all the logs that were going on during that call, all the different codes that were sent back and forth. So whenever I go and make a call, it's got to go through outbound routing, so it's got to match a normalization rule. It's got to match a voice policy. It's got to match a route. It's got to be sent to a mediation server out through a gateway. All of those hops we're collecting logs on. So what I can see immediately here is I can go through and I can look at the additional diagnostic information. I can see that it was trying to attempt the call through a pool and it's trying the next hop, but essentially it was not able to find a route. I can see right away from that diagnostic header that this person was not able to make a call because there was a problem with the routing that I had set up in my voice plan. It could be that there's a problem with my dial plan. It could be that the gateway wasn't available, the mediation server wasn't available. But right away, if I had a user call in and say, hey, I wasn't able to make this call, they're not going to have the information here. They're not going to be able to really help you there. But because we collect all this information, you can go in and find out where that broke down. Okay? Now, the next question is, now that I've gone through and I found out that that user had this specific issue, I got to answer the business questions. Was it just this one user? Maybe, was it a misconfiguration on the user? Was it something limited to a particular region, a particular pool? How many users are impacted? Whenever you're trying to troubleshoot an issue, I'm sure management is asking you these higher level business questions. You know, how much is it costing me? How many people are experiencing this? What do I need to do to fix it? What are the top things that I need to focus on? And you can also get that same information through that same report. So here I am. I'm back at the user activity report. And now, instead of clicking on the diagnostic ID 1200, I'm going to go ahead and click on this response code. And that's the error message that was coming back. And when I click on that, it's going to take me to a top failures report, and I can see on a filtered version of all the different errors that came back to people with the 503 response code. This gives me an idea of how many times it's been reported. How many users has it impacted? Am I trending up? Am I trending down? And so these are the things that will help you to answer the question of, is this a major issue? Is it limited, or is it something that I really need to go and focus on right away? I can go back to this report later on. I can see how am I trending. Is the fix that I put in fixing it from everyone else? Has my trend line gone down? Maybe I was doing gateway maintenance on Tuesday night. All of a sudden, I see a trend line go up. And so I can do some sort of correlation or association between what it is that I did and the result. And so it gives me the ability of going through and making sure that I'm making progress on these issues, that I've resolved the issue, right? Part of fixing an issue is validating that things have been resolved. So in that, I can go ahead and click on reported sessions to get more information. Now, this report's a little bit small, so we're going to zoom in a little bit. And I can go through on that reported sessions, and I can try and narrow down where I was running into the issue. So in this case, I go through, and I can see that this was reported from these particular front-end servers. It was an outbound routing, so it's always showing as outbound routing. But in different scenarios, you'll see more information in the distribution of components. But there I can also go through and find out who my highest affected users are, right? This scenario was a gateway route down. But imagine if it was a scenario that was just impacting particular users or a particular configuration. This would help you to identify who's most often experiencing it. Maybe if it's something that's going to take me a while to fix, send out a proactive note to them and say, hey, I see that you've experienced this a few times. We're aware of it. We're working on it, and we'll let you know when it's fixed. I can tell you that being proactive and letting people know that you're aware of an issue that they may not have even known that they're having or they didn't report gives them a lot more confidence in your ability to go through and say, we're maintaining the health of the system, and we're working on it, and it really drives user satisfaction.
We get those messages from Microsoft IT sometimes. So they've taken an approach, rather than making the message look very formal and official, they're kind of taking an interesting approach where it's like, hey, you know, we wanted to tell you about this. It might hurt, but we're going to tell you anyways. And then, you know, explain what the outage is and explain what the resolution steps are and when the next ETA and an update is. So it kind of, it allows you to take that you know, trend information and then actually push it out to your customers in a useful way that's useful for them. So within Microsoft, we've implemented some of that.
And most of the customers that we've been involved with, who have had some sort of escalation, we've been able to find out a lot of this stuff through the trend reporting.
Yeah.
We'll dig into particular calls to find out exactly what it was, but we can tell them how much they're impacted by that problem via this trend analysis and looking at how often it's happening within their environment. I believe you were working with someone who thought they had an issue related just to a specific client.
Yeah. So we had an issue where the CEO of the customer had called in to a specific dial-in conference, and he came back and, you know, reported to his IT team to say, hey, you know, this link is broken, right? I was in this conference, I got disconnected, I called back in, and link was broken, so you need to fix link. Okay. So I got to work with that team and helped him go back in time and look at his data in the QoE and CDR database, and we were able to kind of piece together after the fact exactly what had happened into the meeting. So the CEO had dialed into the meeting, and we could see the conference join time, the conference leave time of when this person was in. And he had joined the meeting, he was hearing audio, and his phone that he was on got disconnected, right? Anyone walk around the building and their cell phone drop on them, right? Does that happen to anyone this week? Yeah, so I mean, with this many people in a building, it happens quite frequently. So we were able to, through the CDR logs, see this. And then I saw the other people in the meeting leave because the meeting was done. So they left, so there was no one left in the meeting. 2 minutes later, he realized that he wasn't hearing anything in the meeting, left, dialed back into the meeting, and he connected fine, right? But there was no one left there talking because they had already left the meeting. So in his mind, he thought, hey, link is broken. There's something really horrible going on. And we were able to prove after the fact that actually, no, this isn't a widespread issue. This isn't affecting the entire, you know, Link environment. This was just kind of a weird cause and effect. You got disconnected. Everyone else left the meeting. You joined back in, and they were gone. So we were able to use this information after the fact.
Okay. We also worked with a company recently that thought that they're having application sharing issues that were related to a specific platform, because those were the people that complained the most about it. And when we went and got the monitoring server data, we were able to go through and look at all their different logs and prove to them that it wasn't that specific platform or that specific client. There was a larger issue that had to do with the network configuration.
Yeah, their overall network config. So yeah, they were able to see the diagnostics and say, hey, you're having these diagnostics with Link 2010 clients, with Link for Mac clients, with OCS clients maybe in their environment. So it wasn't really specific to one particular client.
So the other part about trend analysis is that you also want to be proactive. I talked a little bit about being proactive of notifying users that are affected by something that you're troubleshooting. But you also want to be proactive in the sense of, I don't want to know about a problem from someone calling in to my help desk, right? It might take a while for that call to get to me, but also I want to run a service with a particular SLA, and I want to make sure that I'm delivering on that. In order to deliver on that, I need to know the health of the environment and how I'm performing and how I'm going to be able to track where I should focus my efforts. In that, we have a couple of different reports that are just off the dashboard that we'll talk about in a little bit. And we actually improved these reports late in the 2010 release. Angela's going to kill me for using this terminology. But we actually improved the reports in what was Link 2010 CU7. And then we also have it in Link 2013. I think we improved it a little bit more in CU1. And what these reports do is they give you the ability to go through and just at a very high level understand how your network is performing. And there are some very good reasons why you want to do that. One, so that you know the overall health, but so you also know where you want to look next. And so this is a screenshot of a media quality summary report that that we had. You can see that immediately we have it broken down by different session types. Am I doing better on peer-to-peer calls than I am on conference calls? Okay, maybe if I am, what's the problem that I'm having with conference calls? If I'm not, what's the problem I'm having with peer-to-peer calls? How am I doing when I'm using media bypass versus going through a mediation server? I can dig into these and try and find where the problem areas on the network are. You know, if I'm seeing 4% poor calls on peer-to-peer calls, I'm going to want to dig into that and find out more about, is it client-related? Is it subnet-related? Are they making calls on wired or wireless networks? We also have that for video calls. That gives you the same idea of the key indicators of what might cause a poor call. And then new in Link Server 2013, we have that same data for application sharing, which we've found extremely useful so far. Yeah. We also have a media quality comparison report. And this gives you the ability of going through and finding out your overall key indicators, your call volume, poor call, and again, those key indicators of network causes for poor audio quality. You have a lot of different options that you can do here in making sure that you're comparing two different streams. What I have here is a screenshot of a comparison between internal and wired calls versus internal and internal and wireless calls. And so you can see that the top graph shows that I have a lot more wired calls, which is great. That's what we want. If I'm trending a lot higher in wireless, I might want to understand why that is. That may be my work environment. That may be how I have people working. Or if most people are sitting at a desk, we can target a user education campaign around, you know, plug in your machine to ensure that you're going to get the greatest call quality. But I can also see on this poor call percentage that I've got a higher percentage of those calls that are poor on wireless. And we're going to expect some sort of that. If we're on wireless, there's going to be some sort of packet loss, right? We all understand that. We have great things in there to conceal, but that will, you know, the user might not determine it's a poor quality call, but if we see over 7% packet loss, we're going to flag it as such. And so it gives you an idea of where you might want to look. We're not limited just to these two things. You can also look at your call quality for external, call quality for VPN, which are very useful when we have the conversation with the customers about making a call over a VPN connection or setting up a split tunnel VPN and using the edge server connection. That's a report that we can run very easily and say, hey, if you're not coming across a VPN, you've got a much higher chance, a much lower percentage of poor calls than those coming across VPNs. So this is a report that I highly suggest that you run in your environment, and that if you are creating SLAs on your environment on percentage of call percentage of poor calls, that you don't set it at an overall level of poor calls, but you set it at what you can control. So you're more likely to have more control over the experience on internal and wired than you're going to have from external and wireless. Okay. This also gives you an idea of where you want to go through and make investments. Do you want to improve the wireless coverage? Do you want to improve configurations on those? Do you need to have some sort of wireless network assessment based upon how many people are making wireless calls? We also have a location report. If you've gone through and filled out your Lynx server data associating subnets with different locations, this will actually use those location names in the report. If you haven't done that, we'll show you the subnets in each of the report. This is a very good report for going through and finding out how are my calls between pairs of sites. These are often across WANs. This is why it's very helpful if you populate the information for subnets to sites. But it allows you to find out where I might be on a WAN-constrained network. Maybe I don't have QoS between those links. Maybe I have a router between two different links that is misconfigured and causing packet drops. But this gives you an idea of where you would want to look on your network to make investments for improving call quality. And so these are all things that they all have links on this that will allow you to dig in and find out more about what those calls are or what was causing those issues. But at a higher level, these are the things that will help you to understand how your network's performing, how Lynx is performing, what your expected service is, and then where you would look to be proactive about improving service.
Cool. So now we're going to, now that we kind of talked through it, we're going to walk through some common scenarios. And we'll look at some of the common questions that you might get from both users and administrators. So on the user side, user's going to maybe call into their help desk or give you, you know, kind of do a walk by to your desk and say, hey, I was on a call a couple of days ago and it was really bad. Okay, well, what was bad? I don't know. I couldn't hear the person on the other end. So they don't know if that bad, poor connectivity was between them and the server, between them and the other person, between them and an edge server. They don't understand the call path the same way that you guys as Lynx professionals or Lynx administrators in your environment would do. So this is a common question you might get. Hey, I had a bad call. Tell me what was wrong. Tell me what I can do, if there's anything I can do as a user to make it better. The user might say, I see a user-facing diagnostic, or what we refer to as UFD. Does everyone know what I mean by user-facing diagnostic? No? Yes? Okay, so when you're in a Lynx call, you're going to get in the bottom of the call session, if the Lynx client detects some underlying network condition or something that's going on your client, maybe a low CPU, low memory, something like that, it's going to pop up what we call a user-facing diagnostic. It's a little yellow box that tries to give you, as the user making the call, some indication as to what's going on. So there's one that we introduced in Lynx 2013 saying, someone in the room, you have multiple audio devices in the same room, and you're going to cause screeching. It might sound like howling monkeys. Anybody ever see that one? Yeah, down in front. There's another one that we actually saw in the lab today. You know, your computer is causing echo, right? So we tried to write these user-facing diagnostics so that, A, they were maybe a little humorous, but B, they were written in language that an end user can understand, right? So some of the verbiage that you'll see in the QoE report, if we were to surface that to a user, they might not understand what that means. But, you know, putting it in plain language, saying, hey, multiple audio devices in the same room causing echo. I look at the person sitting next to me and say, turn off your speaker, turn off your mic. So these user-facing diagnostics appear to the user, but how do we translate that into an administrator being able to see something on the back end? And we'll walk through that. A user might also say, hey, I was on this call, and you know, I picked up my laptop, and I pulled it out from the dock, and I started walking, and I lost the call. Why? Okay, well, I can probably tell you why, because you were on wired, you picked up your laptop out of a dock, and you became wireless, so you're going to drop the call. But after the fact, we would have all that diagnostic information stored in the server. And like Nick mentioned before, you might not realize that all that diagnostic information is being collected, but it is. So some of the questions, common questions we get from administrators is, I know that I have the data, I know that there's a report interface that I can go into, but I'm kind of overwhelmed, I don't really know where to start, I don't know how to read the data that's in these inbox reports. How can I determine what the value of X, you know, what does audio glitch rate mean? What does burst mean? What do all these values mean that I see in these reports? We'll talk about how you can read those. So I'm going to switch to my demo machine over here, and we'll actually look at the report dashboard. So in your environment, the easiest way to get to this is from the Link Server Control Panel. So you open up the Link Server Control Panel. You go to the main page, and underneath that it has a link to monitoring server reports. You click on that link, and it would bring you right to this report's homepage. And one thing that you can do from there is you can go to this dashboard. Oh, and I should have tested that before I demoed it. So this lab environment that Nick and I are using sits offline most of the time, and we started it up, and unfortunately we didn't generate the summary data that would appear in the dashboard. So what you would have seen when you clicked on that dashboard is you would have seen a nice dashboard showing patterns over time, either by week or by month, depending on the how you decided to specify that in your dashboard selection. And thankfully, I wasn't going to demo a lot of that. I was really just going to show you the dashboard and then come back here. So we're all good. So from that dashboard, again, I could see the patterns, and I could see, you know, maybe, you know, poor call trends were trending up or something like that. So then I can come back to these reports, and I can start to drill into the reports. So the first place that kind of what we wanted to highlight was you have really these four main buckets of reports, okay? So you have system usage reports, which really kind of is the, you know, summary reports of all the different call types that are going on in your environment. So you can see I have a user registration report, peer-to-peer activity summary report, conference summary report, so on and so forth. So you can drill into each of those. The top one there, user registration report, I can see how many active users I get signed into Link during a day. So if your boss or your manager or someone comes to you and says, how much is this Link thing actually being used, you can use that out-of-the-box report to go in and say, yeah, we have 25,000 unique active logged in users per day. And you can also see some really cool stats in there. I always like to look at, like, weekend patterns, right? Like, you know, my active login users goes way down, but my percentage of external user logins goes way up on the weekend. So it's kind of, there's some neat summary data that you can see in there. And then this is a main one that we'll just jump into here in a second. This is the user activity report. So this is really the spot that you're going to go to when that end user calls you and says, hey, I was on this call with a user and I had a really poor experience. Can you please tell me what the problem was? On the right-hand side, we have call diagnostic reports. So we have various summary reports that kind of combine all of that diagnostic data together. And Nick showed you this in some of the slides that we were on earlier. And we will get to that eventually later. And then underneath that, I have my media quality diagnostic reports. So these are the kind of summarized trending data looking at all my media types in both a summary and also a comparison report. So I'm going to go ahead and start with the user activity report. And you'll see when this user activity report comes in, it defaults to basically the last 24-hour period from right now, okay? So I can change that time period if I want. I could make that a week. I can go back and look at, you know, calls that were maybe in here a month ago. But for right now, I'm kind of interested in the calls that occurred in the last 24 hours. I have a couple of drop-downs here that I can change. I can say I want to see activity type, peer-to-peer, or conferencing. So for right now, we're going to focus on the conferencing reports. And I'm going to change this modality drop-down to audio because I really just want to see the calls, the peer-to-peer audio calls in my environment. So I go ahead and I click on View Report, and that comes up. And as you can see, this is a lab environment. It's not very active, but we do have some test calls that we've made just recently. So my user who called in and complained, his name was US user, and he said, well, I had a call with CA user or Canada user, and it was poor. Can you go through and have a look? Okay, well, what time was it? I don't know. Sometime this morning. Okay, great. So now I have three calls between those two users that I could drill into. So when I click on the detail of that call, you'll see here at the top I have a number of pieces about the session itself. So what pool and what front end were these users, or was this user connected to? Who was the from user and who was the to user? What user agent string were they using? So what version client build of the link client were they using? So I know that when I look at that and I see UCC API 15.04481.1000, that those users were using Link 2013, what we call CU1 client. So maybe I had a user out there who was using a pre-release version of the client, or they're using an older version of the client. They're using Link 2010 or some other weird user agent string. That would be visible right in here. Down here at the bottom underneath diagnostic reports, I can see all of the detailed invite and buy messages that were collected by the server as this call was proceeding. And again, this isn't something the user didn't have to go in and send this information. They didn't have to click a button to say, send this to my administrator to collect. All this information was just being collected for me on behalf by the front-end servers. So the front-end servers are looking at these messages as they're passing along, picking them up, and then inserting them into this database. Now, the media quality report is information that's collected by both client endpoints. Okay? So US user has called Canada user. US user is collecting media quality reports. Canada user is collecting media quality reports. They both send their media quality report together to the server. The server combines both of those records and presents them as one in this report. So I don't see duplicates. I see it as one combined record. So I can see who my caller was. I can see who my callee was. Again, we repeat the user agent string down here. But then I can start to drill into all the various information that's collected in the media quality reports for these two users. So not only can I see, you know, earlier I could see the machine that they were connected to and what their user agent string is, I can also see the various client IPs. So I can see that this caller was on the 116.0 subnet, and the other caller here was on my 117.0 subnet. Anyone ever try and debug an edge server issue, and you kind of feel a little blind because you had no idea what edge server might be causing a media relay problem or what edge server a user was connected to? These media quality reports show you that. So I can see that my US user was connected to the AV edge server that has an IP 2.166, and I can see that the callee was connected to an edge server that has an IP of 2.169. And then as Nick mentioned earlier, we have user sites and regions configured in our environment. So all that site and region information is surfaced in here as well. So scrolling down, I can see some information on the capture devices on both the caller and the callee. So if the user called up and said, hey, this poor call, I'm using that certified headset that you sent me. It's usually really great, but today it wasn't very good. You can go in and you can look at this report objectively after the fact, and you could see, yes, you were using that certified headset, or no, actually you weren't. You didn't have it plugged in. You were using laptop audio, so the microphone and the audio device out of your laptop, or using some sort of certified, non-certified device.
Or even more so, the person that you were talking to was doing the same.
Exactly. Right, so that's what these reports, for a lot of times, will clear up, is that kind of ambiguous, I don't really know who was causing a problem, we just know that there was a problem. So there are a number of items in here that, you know, basically, if we've not highlighted anything in color, either in yellow or red, it means that the level is acceptable for the call. So right now, you don't see any kind of poor acceptable levels. But let's say, for example, you were interested in what microphone glitch rate meant and what was a good value or not. You can actually highlight over that microphone glitch rate item right here in this report, and you kind of have to keep moving it or otherwise it'll go away. And there's a tooltip built into the report that tells you average number of capture timestamp glitches per 5 minutes, high values, and you got to read really quickly. We also have this documented in our schema online as well that you can go and see. But if just one off you wanted to see it, you can go into this report and you can look it up from right here. And then continuing down, there's a whole lot of information here. And again, I'm not going to go into each and every one. But the one that seems to be really most interesting to people is, well, do I have a network problem or do I have something else? Is it a link problem? Is it a network problem? Is it a device problem? So what these reports are really good at is ruling out that you had network problems. So I can see right here, average packet loss rate on this call was 0%. So I didn't lose a single packet. My average jitter was 3 milliseconds, and my average round trip was 1 millisecond. Anyone think I had a network problem with that call? No. Okay? So I can see very clearly that I did or did not have network problems. I can also see the codec. The one thing to remember here is that codec is actually the last codec that gets used in a conversation. So as you know, we can switch codecs midstream, but what we write here is the last codec that's being used. So that's kind of all I wanted to show you about that call, but we still haven't, you know, pinpointed our poor call. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to click on this one and say, well, maybe it's this last call here. Open up my media quality report, drill down, and oops, yeah, I'm seeing some red. Ooh, average packet loss rate, 21%. Ooh, that was the bad call that you had. So now I can say, yep, this call at this time, between these two network endpoints, we had some form of really bad packet loss rate. So in my lab environment, I ran a little simulator that actually simulates packet loss and injects some packet loss. But you could take this information, extract it back out, go to the network teams and say, hey, at this time of day, 11:35 a.m. on Monday, these users from this network endpoint to this network endpoint experienced 20% packet loss. Can you help us try and debug what that is? And then you could go off and try and figure out and troubleshoot that issue from there.
So, Scott, earlier you talked about user-facing diagnostics.
Yes.
And how you might be able to use these reports to find out what the cause of that diagnostic were.
Yep. Great point. So this one right here is actually something that calls out voice switch time. So, again, this lab environment that we're doing create some weird effects in calls, which is actually really cool for demos because it throws some of these errors. So this diagnostic came up, user-facing diagnostic came up and said, you have a device that's causing echo because the little tool that we use to pump audio into the virtual machine takes an audio stream and funnels it back in as the microphone. So it tricks Link into thinking that there's echo. So I could actually come in here and see that this voice switch time was really high, which I now know by reading through this and learning that this means that there was an echo problem. So the person could say, yeah, I got this user-facing diagnostic. It said something about echo. I can come back here, verify that against the report, and say, yeah, you had echo. You were using, you know, some device that was causing echo in your environment and try and figure it out from there.
How many of you guys have seen the kind of generic user-facing diagnostic that says your device is causing poor audio quality? Okay. That's the one that we see a lot of customers say. Yeah. It's telling me that I'm causing poor audio quality. I don't know what it is. Help me. This is the specific section. I don't know if you want to go back real quick. But if you look at the client event ratio, it's that specific section that is all based upon that user-facing diagnostic. So you can go in there and say, which of these is not equal to zero? And that was the cause of what was popping it up.
Yeah.
So in this case, it was voice switch time. We've seen microphone glitch rate.
CPU insufficient time.
CPU insufficient time. And so that's where you can go into the report and say, I see that you are having an issue with this. And then later on, we'll also show you how you can do some trending to find out how many people are actually having that issue to help you troubleshoot that specific piece.
Yeah. Cool. So you want to do the conference now?
Yep. Actually, I got the dashboard up for you if you wanted to show that.
Oh, perfect. All right. So we'll go back to the dashboard. So that's how easy it is to generate the dashboard table. He was generating it for me in the background to fix my demo problem. So if I had come to dashboard and clicked on dashboard here and it loaded, you'll see actually what the dashboard looks like when it finishes loading, if it does finish loading.
I had a question. Did you say that information is being collected on a
Yeah, so his question, in case anyone else can't hear it, so he said, you said that the information is being collected by the client and being sent to the server. So yes, so the media quality, so because the way that a link call works is a peer-to-peer call, right? When I call Nick at his desk, my audio is going directly from me to Nick. Our audio is not passing through a server. So that audio couldn't actually be collected by a server. So my link client is collecting this audio data, and it captures it at the end of the call. It sends it as a SIP service message to the server. Server grabs that SIP service message and inserts it automatically for me. Sorry, so your question... So his question is, if I've got a situation where I've got some communicator 2007 R2 clients that are communicating to Link 2013 clients, am I missing anything? So in communicator 2007 R2, for example, we aren't collecting application sharing real-time media data, so that data wouldn't be collected by the R2 client. That data would still be being collected by the 2013 client. So what you would see there in the media quality report is, one side of the call had collected the data, the other side hadn't, so it just wouldn't be visible on the other side of the call. So, yes, the best situation is, you know, if you're doing a migration and all your clients are moved forward to 2013, you're going to get the fullest, richest set of data. All of the CDR stuff, all those diagnostics that are collected in the background, that's all collected by the server, so we don't have to worry about that as much. But, yeah, there's definitely differences in the media quality side. Yeah, sure. Perfect. So his question was, what triggers that media quality information gets sent from the client back to the server? Is that right? Yeah. So as soon as the call is over, as soon as I hit end call, my client finishes collecting the data and actually sends that SIP service message off in the SIP stack to the server. Yeah. So as soon as I can get signed back in, it would send that SIP service message up. Presuming that I let it sign back in. I don't know personally exactly what happens if I just, you know, task kill. I think if I just task kill the link client, I think whatever we were collecting in memory would be lost.
That's also just one side of the conversation.
And that, again, yeah, that's just one side of the conversation. So in that case, we might still have the other side of the conversation collecting the data. Right. Yeah, sure. In 2013? Pardon?
I can take that real quick. Sure. So the comment was that after applying some cumulative updates, you've seen reports being broken or not working as expected. There is a step after you deploy the cumulative updates that have the updates to the reporting pack where all you have to do is redeploy the reporting pack. And it'll put in the new reports and everything else, and you should be good. So if you just go into the deployment wizard and click on deploy reports, it will just lay them on top of what you had, and then you'll be good.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So the dashboard has opened here, and again, I'm not going to go through this in much depth, but you can see my trend over the last 6 weeks. And again, this lab environment's been off for 6 weeks, so there's really not much exciting here, which is why I wasn't going to spend too much time on it. But what you can see is it allows you to drill in, and then it will take you from this dashboard view into the more detailed reports that you can look at. So you can see, you know, I had some failures going on. I could click on those failures. That would take me to the failure report. And then I can also see what my media quality diagnostics were, you know, if I had poor audio quality calls. All right, so you want to do the conference now?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. So you start talking and I will pull it for you.
So when you go into user activity, you can look up the user or you can find specifically conferences. As you may have noticed before, all those IM failures we had before is because we didn't turn on the persistent chat server when we were getting ready for this session. So we went in and just went to conference. This gives you the idea of going through and finding out what experiences people had in the conference. How many of you received calls before that says, hey, I was on this conference call, and it was a horrible experience? Okay? Do you know maybe what caused the horrible experience or where you might want to start looking? Was it a Lynx server problem? Was it a client problem? Maybe they were using the wrong device? Or maybe the person who was speaking predominantly was sitting in Starbucks on their Wi-Fi, right? And so you may get six people call in and say, this was a horrible experience. But it could be one person that caused that experience. And the way to prove that is to go through and look at the server reports. You can see how many people might have had the experience, if it was the person receiving or the person sending. And so in this, we have the conference URI, where immediately we can go and we can find out who was joined to that conference, when they joined, when they left, what kind of experience did they have. But we can also drill into that. And we get a lot of information here. Again, like I said, a lot of the information that people most often forget about is the call detail record that tells us all the information about this conference. So I can go through and I can see the diagnostic report for when people joined, when they left. If there is a problem here, I can look at the detail just like I showed you in the slide walkthroughs before. I get to see the different modalities that were used within that conference and when people joined and left. So there was an IM piece of this conference. There was audio, video in this conference, but I don't see application sharing. So I know that that wasn't in there. So how many of you have been asked before, hey, for compliance reasons, I need to know if this user joined this conference and was able to see application sharing, right? So right here we have where you can go into the conference, you can find it, you can say, was there application sharing? Yes or no. If there was, did this person join? Were they in the conference during that time? All right? That's a scenario for this one conference. Later on, I'm going to show you how you can go through and you can look at the entire data set and find out across all the conferences how to find this information. All right? We also have in this media quality report, which is just like the peer-to-peer media quality report, but it shows you the quality per user. And this is what will allow you to go through and find out, was it this person causing audio quality issues or someone else? And so this really allows you to find out where you need to start troubleshooting that call. Is it at the server? Is it at the network? Or is it user education? To say, hey, that's great, you're using all of our best recommendations, except you maybe had your headset on, but you're talking through your computer microphone, and you just didn't realize it because you were the one doing the presentation, right? We've seen that before. And we've actually seen a lot of issues solved just by that kind of user education and finding out if this is a recurring thing for particular users and then being proactive and reaching out to them, letting them know, hey, the reason why you are experiencing poor audio quality or people that you call is because you're not using our best practices in this way. Or maybe they have they're a road warrior, they have a device, they throw it in their bag, they throw it up in the overhead of the plane, it's been beat up, and you know now they've got a device that's not functioning optimally, and then you can target them for a new device.
The one thing you'll notice here in this call detail report is in this case the caller is US user, but the callee is actually this really long GRU. So what that means is that was the media quality report between the user and the server in this conference that they connected to. So again, when we mentioned before that user A and user B were both collecting these media quality reports, the same thing happens in a conference. User A is collecting media quality, and user B in this case is the server. So the server is collecting media quality on the server to user interaction.
The other thing that I wanted to show in this is when we talked about the conference participation, and I showed these diagnostic codes, this is the specific report that Scott used when troubleshooting the issue with the CIO, showing that everyone had joined, thought the call had ended, left, and when he tried to rejoin, he wasn't able to do so because the conference bridge wasn't open. And he's able to find it just by going into the specific report and saying, okay, you dropped, everyone else joined, and then this is when you tried to come back in. All right? So it gives you a lot of information about what went on so that you can do the forensics for troubleshooting.
It's like an episode out of CSI.
That's what you're thinking while you're doing it, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing that we want to go through is just a little bit of the proactive top failures report, where you can go through and say, where is it that I'm having the most most common issues or most common failures? Just real quick, I want to take you through this. We have the activity type just like before, peer-to-peer and conference. But what you'll see here is category of expected and unexpected failures. Do you guys know what that means? Took me a while. So there's a difference between, we'll look at things that we think might be an expected failure, such as someone at an IM conference, they just shut their laptop and they go into sleep, and so we're not getting any information from them, which means that we think that we've signed them out. Yeah. Now, if someone had an IM conference going with them and they typed in an IM and tried to send it to them, we get an error message back saying there's no endpoints to deliver this to. That's kind of an expected failure, right? Or I'm talking to someone on their cell phone drops, we get a thing coming in from the PSTN through the gateways and mediation server. It says, call terminated on that side. That's an expected failure. We don't want you guys to see failure reports for every time someone hangs up their phone on the other side, right? An unexpected failure is, I was trying to establish a call and it wouldn't connect. It tried to connect, it wouldn't connect. Or I was on a call midstream and it just dropped and disconnected. So those are the things that we really want to look at. Things like, I was trying to route a call and I wasn't able to route it. Are they after you, Scott?
Something's going to come bursting through the door here pretty soon.
And so you really want to kind of target your troubleshooting on unexpected failures. And that's why this is the way it's set up. And so here we can go through and we can see all the different response codes. We could filter it if we wanted so we can find how our trending was. But it gives us a good idea of what's causing the most common issues within our environment. So here's a good example. I hadn't turned on all the servers yet. So this was a failure where the servers were starting up and they're trying to contact the Edge server to make sure that they could establish media with outside people. And they weren't able to because the Edge servers weren't up yet. And so that's something that if that persisted, I'd want to be notified about. Why can't it talk to that server? Is that server down? Is there a misconfiguration? Are they not talking to the right servers? There's not firewall rules. But it allows me to go through there, and then I can go through and click on that and find out, again, what those sources were. Who are the users that were experiencing that? And where I might want to troubleshoot that. So again, this is a very proactive way of you going, being able to go in and look at this data. All right, this is just kind of a tour of the reports that we have. Of those of you that use monitoring reports, do you think it answers all your questions? Okay, it doesn't answer all my questions. I can tell you that the reports were developed to answer the most common questions faced by customers that would be looking for those answers. We know that there are different sectors in which they want specific answers around compliance. You might be troubleshooting a specific issue that you want to dig a little bit deeper into the reports, that we don't have a built-in report. What I want you guys to understand is that it's not just limited to those reports. And so we actually have all this data is stored in backend SQL. How many of you have base knowledge of writing SQL queries? Okay. How many of you fear it like the command prompt? Okay. How many of you have access to someone who can write SQL queries? All right. So one of the things that we showed is maybe find all the users that have experienced this specific diagnostic code. I know we already have a report for that, but this is an easy example. Of all those reports that we have, they're all based upon views within the database. You can actually go and find out more about those views because we have that documented in the schema reference. So out on TechNet, if you look up LCS CDR or QE metrics schema, you will find all this information about all the data that we collect and what the data means and what those thresholds are. But all those reports that we run are based upon these views within the database. So don't go and try and go to each of the tables and find out how the relationships are and how do I put everything together. You can go do that if you want, if you're looking for some very specific piece of information. What I suggest you do is you look at the views. So for CDR, I suggest the session details view. And this will allow you to go through and find out all those reports that come back about those sessions. And then I can write a very basic filter that says, okay, tell me all the ones that were this specific diagnostic ID. And then I can collect all the information in that monitoring report, all in the SQL query, where if I wanted, I could dump it into Excel, and I could run pivot tables, and I could do whatever data analysis I wanted on it so that I could get more data from what I was looking for. Okay? We have that in CDR. It's the session details view. I have this in the appendix of the slides if you want to look. And then for QoE, we have the call reports detail view. I can tell you I've used this one a lot. I worked with one customer. They kept seeing your computers causing poor audio quality. We looked into the user. We determined that it was a microphone glitch rate. The next question was, how many people are facing this? You know, is it a specific laptop type? Is it a specific office? Is it a specific device type? And so we used that view. We said, give us all the people who have faced a microphone glitch rate greater than X value. We had a list of all their different, who they are. We had an idea of where they were, what device they were using, and then we could also correlate the machine CPU type with what machine they were using. And it allowed us to correlate, was it a specific laptop? Was it a specific build image? Which really led us to the solution, which was essentially they didn't have an up-to-date driver that was causing some USB issues. And because we were able to go through there and find the correlation on that, instead of trying to open up each and every report, we were able to get that data very quickly, bring it back into Excel, work with it, identify with who we should contact, and what the correlation was. Okay?
Cool. All right. So that's pretty much it for what we had for today for you guys. We did put a slide together to show some of the breakout sessions that are coming up, hands-on labs, and related certification exams. Again, we wanted to thank you guys for coming. We hope that this gives you a baseline understanding of the monitoring service data that's there and how you can go and get it out of the reports and how you can kind of extend it. If we didn't maybe answer all your questions, we have another 12 minutes in this room that we can help answer questions before the next team comes in. Or Nick and I are going to be at the demo booth later today from, 5:45 till 8 o'clock, because I'm sure that's what you all want to do from 5:45 till 8 o'clock. But if you do have questions, come find us there. We've also got some time slots later in the week as well that were in the Link demo booth. So come by, see the demo.
We'll also be at Ask the Experts.
Yeah, and we'll be at Ask the Experts in wherever the Link booths are. I'm not quite sure. Yeah, question?
I have a couple questions for you.
Sure. So his question is, do we recommend using this more than regular tracing logs? To me, they're tools that can be used together to end up with a solution, right? So a lot of times, a user maybe doesn't have tracing enabled, right? We would start with what's in the kind of server-side reports. We would drill into a specific scenario where we go, okay, we now know that you, user on this network, has this problem. Then we would go up and set up and say, okay, when you're calling user alpha is causing user Bob, we would set up tracing on your side and your side, collect both those logs, which would give us richer information that we could then pull together and send to a Microsoft support engineer. So I think it's a combination of the two of them. So the monitoring database and the archiving databases are all part of the high availability solution in Link 2013. So you set it up, you set up mirroring, and SQL takes care of mirroring that data off to another SQL server for you automatically. Yes. Yeah. Now the only caveat to that is, say you were writing a custom report and your custom report was pointing to SQL 01. Well, SQL 01 had actually failed over to SQL 02. You need to make sure that your custom report was capable of understanding the mirror state, which you can actually get quite easily out of Link. So there's a commandlet, get CS database mirror state, database type, monitoring. You could run that, figure out where the database is, and then make it intelligent enough or just change the script that you were running. So, yeah. There was another question somewhere. Yeah. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. See that report, is that all
So those that didn't hear the question or for the recording, the question is, does the SCUM monitoring pack actually look at the call quality information? And yes, it does. When you import it, there are some additional steps that you need to do in order to give it permissions to read these reports. But it will go through and it will look at your call quality, and you can define thresholds and when it will alert you for poor calls over a certain amount within certain sites or between sites. So it will actually go through and look against this database to alert you if you have issues or that you see a spike in issues over a certain threshold.
There's actually a session going on this week as well, OUC B320, where they're going to drill into System Center 2012 Operations Manager and Automated Diagnostics for Link. I don't know exactly what they're planning to cover. I haven't seen their deck, but that's the title, and I think it would be pretty applicable. So his question is, for users who are using Office 365, when will this reporting be available? Are you specifically talking about 365 multi-tenant or dedicated? Multi-tenant, okay. I don't know exactly what service release, but I know that it's in the roadmap to be able to provide this information to the multi-tenant customers. I don't know the exact date, but I know that it's in the works. Pardon? So what you're going to see coming in the future is nothing's definite until it's actually shipped. That's, pardon? Yeah, it's the usual. And I know that that sounds like, hey, you know, he's trying to avoid. It's honestly, Nick and I deal kind of on a daily basis with the feature teams in Redmond in terms of when they develop their products. And this is the model that we're going to. So we won't commit to when features are going to be available until they're actually out. But yeah, it's in the works. Okay.
Oh, we have one over here. Okay. So the question is there anything on the roadmap for showing these reports in SharePoint and moving away from SQL reporting services? I've heard that discussed many times.
Yeah.
I can't comment on the roadmap yet for it, though.
Yeah, and I personally, one of the challenges I see for that is, well, you know, we'd get the exact flip opposite question of, well, I don't want to have to be forced to deploy SharePoint to get these reports. So it's kind of a catch 22, right? Did anyone ever work with OCS 2007 and the update server? Okay. Did you do that? Do you remember how painful that was to get an update server up and running? And it used SharePoint as the back end. So to update a single phone, you had to go through and deploy SharePoint and then deploy updates to SharePoint and then push them out. So we've done kind of this dependency on other products before, and sometimes it works really well and sometimes it doesn't. So
exactly. There are plenty of partners out there that will go through and look at the same data and give you a much richer set of data on that. But I think a lot of it is focused on adoption. But there are partners that are going through and enhancing these reports and giving features like SharePoint integration. Yes? Okay, so the question is, are there thoughts about bringing the collect logs button forward into the Link 2013 client when it was there before?
Yeah, it was actually there before RTM, and there was a flag on the server that you could enable or disable it, and we actually took it out of the code when we released RTM, and I don't personally know why. I don't know what the, if there is thinking or not to bring it back. I know I've heard some people ask for it.
If you want to follow up with us afterwards, we can get you the answer on that, the specific answer. For those of you not familiar with that feature, it's what we used to call BRB or Big Red Button,
Big Red
because
button.
That's what we had during the initial beta testing. And what it would do is when you had an issue, not only would everything be uploaded to the monitoring server, but you could click on a button that would then go and basically zip up all of your log files into a cab file. Then you could throw on a share or email to someone that they could look deeper into what the call was. I think one thing that we found is that in order, you pretty much had to have some very specific tools that support has to look into that data. We've been working with the devs trying to make that information more readily available to customers.
All right. So thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of Tech Ed, and make sure if you haven't been to Bourbon Street yet, you go check it out.